Good morning. I'd like to call the Commerce, Gaming, and Land Committee meeting to order. Today is January 18th, and the time is 10:04 a.m. Roll call, please.
Congressman Tillman?
Here.
Congresswoman Stabler?
Present.
Congresswoman Goodfox?
Present.
Congresswoman Lemon?
Present.
Congresswoman Pratt?
That's here.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Here. We have a quorum. Next item on our agenda is prayer. Mr. Kirk, would you please lead us in a word of prayer this morning?
Father God, thank you so much for this day to come together as a tribe and as a people. Lord, please just look out for us and help us to make the right decisions for our people and for our tribe to move forward successfully, Lord. Please ask that you please look after the ones that couldn't be here today and take care of them, bring us all back together again in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mr. Kirk. Next item on the agenda is approval of minutes, and we have minutes from December 10th.
I just have a question.
Yes.
Is there ones? Is David Conrad's position titled president or CEO?
President.
Oh,
president,
it is.
CEO or something like that.
Yes.
President and CEO. Wow. Okay, that was my question. Sorry. Didn't know if it was a title flaw.
So the only thing I would say is at adjournment, unless there's a reason why there isn't, why it isn't six, it should be six by then, right?
Yeah, all the five should be six.
Executive session for confidential matters and adjournment should both be six.
Is there any previous to that? Should be six? Because it's motion to exit.
To go in, to exit, and adjournment.
Right. Enter, exit, adjourn.
Okay, got a correction there.
Okay.
Is there a motion?
Okay. I move to approve the minutes for December 10th as amended.
Second.
I have a motion and a second by Congresswoman Stabler. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say yes.
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 Any opposed, say no. The minutes from December 10th are approved. Okay, now we're down into the meat of our agenda. What this meeting is about, a lot of times, Commerce, Gaming, and Land Committee, we meet with our outside business entities, such as our gaming enterprise and our LLC. But also, we have issues that fall under this committee's jurisdiction that are governmental issues, initiatives that we have taken on as a nation. And so I thought it would be good to have this meeting and discuss some of the initiatives that were discussed during the last CISO session in September of 18. So we are here with some of the representatives, and the first item on the agenda is to discuss the progress of the Osage Nation broadband projects. When I was planning this meeting, I contacted Chief Standing Bear to ask him who the points of contact were for each one of these projects. Sometimes those change from time to time, so it's been a while since we've discussed the issues. He let me know that on the broadband project issue, that the points of contact were Mr. Mark Kirk, who is our director of IT, and Candy Thomas, who is the director of our strategic planning office. And also, have I misspoken, Chief?
If I might, thank you, members of committee, Madam Chair. The actual point would be K-Bills and Osage LLC, OIS, through an MOU, which is recently approved by USDA, RUS. We will provide support services to them. But the project, the grantee for the grant, is not Osage Nation. It is Osage LLC, the subsidiary, Osage Innovative Solutions. Our role is to, and we've negotiated with them, to support their efforts in providing this broadband, because they are the grantee, not Osage Nation.
Yes, thank you for clarifying that. And I do understand that. And I talked to Ms. Bills, and she supplied me with the MOU that is between the nation and the grant. And it's what I understand from this, and correct me if I'm wrong, is they're going to handle the administrative and such as reporting and actually the handling of payments of money.
Candy Thomas and Mark Kirk can definitely address that.
Right, and it's my understanding that as far as actually doing the work on the broadband project, that the nation and our efforts will be to actually push the project forward.
Yes, Candy and Mark can.
Right, so Candy and Mark are the ones that are here.
They can discuss that with you.
Ms. Thomas and Mr. Kirk, would you please come to the table and let us know what's going on with our broadband project? We'd love to hear.
Sure. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, broadband. Current status for broadband. We just recently finished our pre-qualification for, every time I say we, I'm talking about Osage Nation in general. The obviously the grantee is OIS, but we're again trying to work with them as closely as we can and help as much as we possibly can with the project. The pre-qualification for the actual construction companies was just completed. We now have a list of pre-qualified, and when I say pre-qualified, they're approved and ready to go from the USDA, RUS's standpoint, as well as going through Osage Nation's vetting process. Right now, we're awaiting getting pricing back from those folks to be able to get construction started. So it's been a long, long, hard road to get to this point where the start of construction is very, very close.
I'm going to ask a question there. So pre-qualification, does that mean that the bids have actually been let already to particular construction companies to begin the project, or we're still in the selection process of the contractors for this process?
We're in the selection process. The way that that this process works with the RUS grants, the actual bidders themselves must be pre-qualified ahead of time. So there's several criteria they have to meet, from an experience and bonding level and a lot of other circumstances that make them qualified to bid on any RUS project.
Okay.
That has to be taken care of. Then they've also gone through our additional vetting process from an Osage Nation standpoint for Native American ownership, Osage ownership, all these other criteria that we go through. That part has been completed. Once that is done, the way this process works, a inventory list from our engineering company, which is ACRS, is provided to these bidders. They then will basically provide line item pricing for each one of the functions that are in that. At that point, low bid takes the project. We are at the point where we're going to be providing them with those inventory lists to get the pricing. So again, although I have not been through this particular process myself, I think the hard part is done. We've completed the vetting process of who's qualified and who's not. And now it's just a matter of letting them price the individual components and get the project rolling.
So was there pretty great interest from contractors to move forward on this project?
Absolutely. We had a lot of very big contracting companies that wanted to bid on this and some smaller ones. They're all across the board. A lot of very, very well-known names were in that list. We should not have any problems at all with the construction process once we get it kicked off.
Okay. Any questions about what Mr. Kirkus said from the table? I have some questions about, are we bidding, I know they're two separate projects, so this bid that you're talking about, is it solely for the Great Horse project, or are we able to come in and start bidding two for the Barron project?
Right now, we're solely for the Great Horse project, simply because we're waiting on some paperwork on the Bowering project to come through. With the government, current government shutdown, that paperwork is kind of
lost
in limbo. So we're waiting for that process to get knocked out. Ideally, we would really like to see for both these projects to be moved at the same time. So we would only have construction folks deployed and ready at one point without having to go out and then come back in.
That
would be a fantastic situation, but that's unfortunately out of our control.
Okay, and so we're still working with Mr. Lightfoot. What was the name of his company
again? ACRS.
ACRS. And so our plans, like the blueprint, if you will, for me not knowing what the terms are, those are drawn out. We know exactly what we're going to do with this project.
Plans have been drawn out with the exception of one tower location. We have three towers that are going to be erected as part of this project. One of those tower locations has been in question because we had to locate land to purchase that. And that required actually negotiating with the landowner to be able to successfully buy it and all that. I believe that's just about to be finished up right now, though. So with the exception of one tower location, everything is ready to roll.
So when you locate those towers, just because I don't know, how specific, how close to a certain pinpoint geographic area do you have to close in order, like, could it be 3 miles over? Because when you are purchasing property for that, it seems like it would be up to a landowner whether they want to sell or not. So how specific in a pinpoint place does that tower have to be?
It doesn't have to be exactly in the right spot, but it needs to be in the same general area. And for that reason, when the draft engineering was done for the project, there were several locations picked to choose from, okay, knowing that not all of them are going to be viable. So they're really, I think, down to our third or fourth selection right now on the one that we're trying to get taken care of.
Okay, thank you. You can continue on if you have any more you want to tell us right now.
I'm just excited to get this thing going. It has been so, we have, one thing we've definitely not done is miss an opportunity to cause issues and to have, you know, to have problems on this project. It's been a long, trying ordeal, but I think we're pretty well over the hump. And we get this construction rolling, things are going to start happening much more smoothly for us.
Okay. Ms. Thomas, do you have any?
Well, I just wanted to add that we've been hearing some thoughts about who in Great Horse is or is not going to get service. And so we feel like it would be best to have a public meeting and have the Great Horse community, Fairfax community, come and understand the project, because the only free service that's going to be held is going to the critical facilities like the fire department, hospital, emergency management, those kinds of facilities that have been cited in the grant. And the rest of the service will be up to the vendor to put in commercial service, just like AT&T or anybody else would. So I think there's kind of a misconception that everybody's going to have free service for a couple of years. So we'd like to have a public meeting and explain the project and get it out there. We are going to have a community center at Great Horse that's going to have, like, I think about six to eight computers, and it's going to be staffed for, and that's free for people to come out that don't have computers in the home or want to access something on the computer. And that's going to be open 40 hours a week and some after work hours and either a Saturday or a Sunday. So it is going to be available in one spot in Great Horse for the community, but the rest of it will end up being a commercial vendor selling service just like anybody else.
And part of our commitment on the grant process is for that community center to be open for 2 years.
Right.
So after that 2 year period, there's no requirement that community center has to remain open. So it'll be kind of up to the community at that point whether to keep it open or not.
I'm going to recognize Congressman Lemon, but one question I have before we go on is, those facilities that have computers in it, they'll be hardwired, or will Wi-Fi be available if you go into that center? Do you know the answer to that, Mr. Kirk?
The requirement for the grant is for them to be hardwired, so it will be hardwired connection to the network or to the internet at that point. There's nothing that says we cannot put a Wi-Fi access point in that building.
Okay, thank you.
But that's going to be up to the operating entity of the broadband on, and really kind of, it becomes a concession at that point. So it's really whatever the need is.
Thank you. Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you, Chair. I was just wondering if you guys had been contacted by anyone. I was contacted by a citizen in the Fairfax community. She's not native, but she called me because there's a tower on a Osage's land that is not being used. It's an abandoned tower. And this particular employee works for Indian Electric, and Indian Electric used that tower at one time, but something, they decided to stop using it, and they went and built their own. The reason I'm asking this is because the reason she called me is to let me know that they are going to offer free Wi-Fi in Fairfax, and I don't know how far outside of Fairfax they're going to be offering that. And that was the point of them contacting me to find out who would be their next point of contact to talk about that tower that was on the land of an Osage person's, you know, property. And so I was just wondering if you guys were aware that there is an initiative to provide free internet to Fairfax and then possibly some outer surrounding areas.
I wasn't. No, this is new. It's certainly something worth looking into, though.
Congresswoman, I just want to get clear. Is it Indian Electric that's actually going to offer the wireless
actually,
service?
Actually, I don't know who's going to. An Indian Electric employee contacted me, and the reason she contacted me is because there was, at the time that they utilized the abandoned tower on Mr. Daniels' land, mm-hmm. They are going to try to use that tower again to offer free Wi-Fi services to the town of Fairfax and surrounding areas. And so it's a tower that's not being utilized at this point in time.
Okay, thank you.
Interesting information. I'd be more than happy to run that down and kind of see what the actual incident really is. It's certainly possible. Indian Electric has infrastructure where they could run fiber. They could put Wi-Fi out if they wanted to. My only question is they've had that same capability all along for many, many years. So if they're doing it now, that's fantastic. I mean, it can work in conjunction with what we've got going on, but. It'd be interesting to find out what the real story is.
Well, what I was told is that after the tornado, and because, you know, like there was so much destruction and everything, they're just trying to get people to try to buy back into our little community again and want to stay and not leave because we don't really have a lot there. And it was something that they were hoping that would make, you know, anyways.
Okay.
That's just what I was told initially. It was a simple phone call that she just, you know, asked about, and I didn't know about it, so. That was interesting.
We didn't know either.
It's good information. Worth looking into.
Congresswoman Pratt.
So I'm sorry. I know we need to move on, but I was just asking Congresswoman Stabler the other day about, like, do you remember that FirstNet meeting we went to kind of thing? I was like, whatever happened to that? So can I just, it kind of plays into this, so can I just briefly, I want to say that as soon as I asked you that, did we not get an email about it like that night? It was really weird. It was so do you have any information on that?
Yes, I do. FirstNet, I think, you all are aware, I was on the state tribal advisory committee for FirstNet for Oklahoma. That completed and the process was begun construction-wise. AT&T was the selected vendor for FirstNet, which we knew really was probably going to happen all along. AT&T has started FirstNet services in Oklahoma. We had a lot of conversations with their engineering folks and the construction people ahead of time. They had done some pre-engineering. I like to call it desktop engineering because it did not actually make any trips out to locations to verify. But they developed what's called propagation patterns from existing tower locations. And their thought was that they had enough tower locations in Osage County to provide FirstNet service as is without adding anything. So they turned up the service and said, okay, FirstNet is now available in Osage County. We were provided sample devices by FirstNet for our ONPD officers to carry around the county to verify coverage. We already knew what the answer was, but we needed to prove it to FirstNet. So they did that on two occasions now, and the coverage is terrible. We do not have enough coverage to rely on FirstNet as a communications device for our law enforcement officers or for anybody else. It's worse than the coverage that we currently have with AT&T Commercial and through US Cellular. So they have some work to do. They have 5 years to do that. There's a federal mandate as far as coverage goes that they have to abide by to avoid penalties, but they have 5 years to make that happen. Okay. So FirstNet is running, and you can act, in fact, use FirstNet if you happen to be in areas where they have a tower that works.
What year?
Yeah. Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you. What year are they in? You say there's a 5 year, so what?
They're in year one.
Okay.
Yeah. And Congresswoman Pratt, I think that even though it doesn't really affect, I think that it falls in.
It plays
in.
Yeah, sure.
It does.
Yeah.
And I can see maybe in the future that we might provide some extra coverage here in the county that is missing with these projects. Sure. So I think it does play into
I think all of our opportunities that existed before with FirstNet still exist because they're still going to have to deal with the coverage situation within Osage County. So the more infrastructure we can actually, when I say we as Osage Nation can construct, the more likely we are to actually interface with FirstNet at that point.
I just have one more question, and I promise.
Congresswoman Lemon, you're fine. That's what we're here for.
So where does the broadband stop in Fairfax where's the cutoff? Because I live pretty close to Gray Horse, and I have internet. So where are the fiber optics?
The funding area for the grant is actually Gray Horse.
Okay.
Fairfax, we are transitioning through Fairfax to get to Gray Horse.
Okay.
So the fiber will go all the way through Fairfax and all the way to Gray Horse to the community center at Gray Horse.
Okay.
The fact that we have fiber in Fairfax then gives us the ability to construct broadband to wherever we want it to go within Fairfax. So again, if you think of the fiber as the backbone of delivering the service, we can come off of that backbone with feeders via fiber optics or by setting additional towers and providing wireless service.
Okay.
So that is the plan to cover Fairfax in its entirety.
Okay.
The beauty of this when it was presented to Congress by the Utility Authority Board, Osage Nation Utility Authority Board, was that we own all the fiber. So that's our line. And we can develop it on our own or with partners as we see fit. And one question that comes to my mind, we don't have to wait that two-year period. If we had the means to start developing now as it's being implemented, we could develop as we're constructing. But I don't think the planning has really ever been in place to be able to accomplish that, nor the research and development to see the cost and what it would take for us to do that. So I'd like to move on and have that discussion about the future of our broadband projects. If we're finished with talking, if there's not any more questions about where we are today right now as far as the construction, and maybe one more question for that, for the project people here. Do we have a timeline of maybe completed, and I know construction varies, but do we have a timeline of when we hope that we're online at least with the Gray Horse project?
Assuming that not too many problems happen during construction, assuming we don't all of a sudden have a really tough winter and cause problems as far as being able to dig in the ground, things like that, we by all rights should have a functioning broadband system to Gray Horse by this fall.
19 within this year.
Yes, ma'am.
That's pretty exciting. Yeah, those towers go up really fast, too.
Yeah, especially if we use these larger contractors, resources are not a problem. They've got lots and lots of resources. They'll move forward quickly on construction.
Okay. So I think that helps us segue into the next portion of this. I know that I've talked to a couple of people in Gray Horse that are pretty excited about it, having the capability at least there, and I think that as Ms. Thomas alluded to, there's probably a misconception that when this is completed in the fall that people will just automatically have broadband services and Wi-Fi services. That's going to be business development. So I'm interested to know what are we doing to work toward business development. I think we're We're focused on construction, which is good. We have these grants, we need to construct it. But I think the beauty of the whole project was, is there was that facet at the end where it could develop into a viable business to serve our communities, to help the economic development there, as Congresswoman Lemon referred to. And so can we speak to that issue?
Yeah, certainly. You're exactly right. The grants provide for construction, which we're moving forward with. We're really building an asset. Once this asset is constructed, it can sit there and do nothing as far as the grant's concerned, other than provide a service for this community center. If we want to build a business enterprise around these assets, that has to be done as a separate issue. And as everyone knows, right now, Osage Nation does not have that facility in place to provide retail utility services, basically, is what we'd be doing. So we've been working, when I say we have a team within Osage Nation Executive, where we've been trying to gather information on moving forward with partnerships, joint ventures, all types of options to create a business entity that would be able to function this broadband system. So this is, we're strictly at the information gathering point right now. We have lots and lots of people all over the country that would like to partner with Osage Nation to be able to operate this system. So we have to go through and really vet that process very carefully, because not all of them are reputable and not all of them have Osage Nation's best interests at heart. And that's one of the things that we've talked about since day one on this project. Ultimately, what we want to end up with is something that provides services for Osage citizens within Osage County, that again provides all the economic development benefits that go along with that. But we also want to build a viable business enterprise for Osage Nation that provides jobs and provides the ability for people to actually be involved in the tech industry within Osage County. It's very important to everybody. It's on the team. We're all very aware of that. And anybody we talk to about potentially being a partner or working with us in any way, we make sure they understand that from the very beginning, that the intent here is to build a viable enterprise for Osage Nation, not just to create an additional commercial enterprise for somebody else to be involved in.
Thank you. Chief Standing Bearer, please join us.
I'm trying to open another door, just to be advised to Congress, the utility board law may need to be amended to let them go beyond the regulatory authority into more enterprise activity. That discussion is still going on. Just future reference.
And I understand what you're saying. And, you know, cities administrate their public utility. And I don't know that that really has enterprise tag on it. It's a service to the people of a community. So
yes.
I would agree that we need to take a look at that law.
Like a city public utility,
right,
or parking authority or airport authority, yes.
Right. So I agree that we should probably have those conversations. And I, for one member of Congress, am very interested in the development of services to our community, because I believe that Congresswoman Goodfox and I had a conversation yesterday about what do we do for our communities, Gray Horse and Hominy. I mean, Pawhuska's kind of got a little thrive going on, but the economies of our smaller communities really need help. And I think that since our citizens live in these communities, that the nation should have a part in this. And I think that internet connection speed, I know that my husband's business depends on internet sales. Mm-hmm. And if we're having bad, sketchy service, then we're missing stuff. So,
yes. And we need to have the utility authority, Mr. Beamore, working, in my view, more closely with the Osage LLC, OIS, and this team here. But that is happening. But that was identified as something we may be needing to come to you about.
Well, and I would ask, while you're here and we're on this subject in brief, that I realize that the utility authority needs to be involved, as does our LLCs and your team that you have put together on the executive. But I think that the planning of the finance for this project, too, involves Congress.
Yes.
And helps us prioritize how we appropriate the nation's money. So I would request from you that you would think about Congress when you're putting teams together to look at these issues.
We are, actually. We think we need to come back on the utility board's authority, and of course any financing, everything will have to be discussed here.
Right.
Sure.
Thank you so much. Anywhere else we want to go with this? Any more information needed by the committee? I think that business development's important for this. So I know that you guys realize that too. I do have one more question though. When we erect our towers and we put the equipment that is going to provide wireless, is that a part of the grant?
Yes.
So the equipment that goes on the top of the tower that's going to be able to communicate with devices, that's going to be our equipment, or is that going to be somebody else's equipment?
The initial equipment that goes up will be part of this grant, so it'll be our equipment. The terms of the grant, again, provide services within the service area, which is Gray Horse. So the additional towers that are not in Gray Horse, there's not going to be a lot of additional equipment within this grant. Obviously, if you're operating this as a business enterprise, you want to get as much equipment up there as you possibly can to get as much service out to people as you can. Those things are part of this whole evaluation process in developing a joint venture or a business partner. There will be additional investment money that needs to go in to provide connections to other folks. Each one of those connections at that point, though, is a revenue source. So it's really just a matter of getting the equipment up, getting the connections made, and moving forward. There are models built all over everywhere specifically how to do that. The thing about this is, especially from a wireless standpoint, technology is changing and evolving rapidly. The equipment that's, I guess one of the benefits of us being behind on this particular project is there's been dramatic strides in the capabilities of wireless equipment over just the last couple of years. The equipment that's available now really rivals fiber optic speed, and it's nearly as secure as fiber optics are. And that was not even available 2 years ago. So there's a lot of advancement that we will be able to take advantage of now that we are in the construction process. But there's a lot yet to be decided on as far as moving into the business enterprise aspect and how you make this work.
So, which, that's really what I wanted to hear from you, but also, so it gives me another question. Just with our towers erected, that could start being a revenue source immediately by letting other people hang their equipment off our towers, correct?
Yes, ma'am. In my opinion, we need to have this business enterprise question answered and in place before this is finished in the fall, so that whenever this is turned up, we have the ability to start a business enterprise immediately.
Okay. And this committee, as long as I'm going to sit here and I'm a part of this committee, we'll go ahead and keep you on this agenda for regular updates, because I think this is an exciting project for the nation, and I'm glad to finally, what I'm hearing is we're moving forward. I've heard it before, but I think we are headed in a good direction now. Thank you, guys. Is there any more questions from the table of Ms. Thomas or Mr. Kirk? Thank you guys so much. We appreciate you coming in and your information.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Appreciate y'all.
Next item on our agenda is the progress of Skyway 36. And Chief Stanley Bear let me know that Assistant Chief Redhorn is still lead on this project. And so I'm going to invite him. Did I skip something?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, you just had a very questioning look on your face.
Sorry.
Thank you, Congresswoman. Are you going to move that
ugly
podium out of not ugly podium out of the way? And let me ask, for making this move, can you guys hear us at the back, Mr. Johnson and Ms. Curry? Can you guys hear us at the back of the room here at the table, or are you missing this meeting? You can hear. Good. Thank you. Okay, I would like to invite Assistant Chief Redhorn to the table for the next item on the agenda, which is discussion of the progress of Skyway 36. And whoever you would like to invite to the table with you, please.
We've invited Brian Bigby from
NCOG, and probably best, he's going to do a fair amount of speaking, so we're going to sit him here if that's okay.
That's fine. Mr. Bigby, welcome to our meeting.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
We're glad you're here. I believe Mr. Bigby is, what's your title with NCOG?
Yes, ma'am. I'm the Economic Development Planner for the Indian Nation Council of Governments.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for being here. Anybody, Mr. Kirk's going to join us too? Okay.
So, Madam Chair, I'll open by saying that we're pleased that you put an executive session on here. Fortunately, there's a very minor part of what we need to say that in order to fully inform Congress, we need to use that executive session. But I anticipate, unless Congress has any questions at all, which I actually don't anticipate, that should only last 2 to 4 minutes or so. There's just a couple of details that we think it's important to share with Congress here, and that probably should occur in executive session. So I'll open by commenting that we have presented to you a detailed draft of a lot of activities that are going on at Skyway, including the Innovation Zone Business Plan, how it's approached, the principles behind it. I think it's fair to say that this document contains a lot of information that Congress has asked for in the past. To Mr. Bigby's presence here, and in the most concise way possible, I'll explain that during the conference with Mr. Bigby, he indicated to us that he was aware of a number of possibilities, opportunities, and potential that would be available to the Osage Nation. Mr. Bigby has extensive contacts throughout the world of grants at the federal level, at the state level, not to mention key players in aerospace industries at the state level. So we invited Mr. Bigby here to help the Congress understand and answer any questions regarding this particular opportunity. We're going to share that with the Congress in some detail. We feel comfortable doing it in a public forum. We believe it's important and it signifies a tremendous opportunity for the Osage Nation at Skyway 36. So if I may, I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Bigby, Madam Chair.
Mr. Bigby.
Madam Chairman, members of the committee, thank you very much for the opportunity to address you on this exciting project that is being developed out at the Skyway 36 or the Osage Nation Air Park that's adjacent to the new Osage Casino off of 36th Street North, just outside of Tulsa, Oklahoma. So when this was presented to me, it immediately piqued my interest and wanted to learn more about it. So a lot of what I will present to you or inform the committee of today comes from my professional position as an economic development planner, so from the world of economic development. And for this to even be where it is today, you would, to ensure that it benefits the Osage Nation, you would want to know for sure if a market exists for such a facility. And what this facility would be is an established drone port that would accommodate the needs, the research and development needs of an existing unmanned aerial systems market in the state of Oklahoma. I've over the last couple of years attended several meetings where I was amazed at the energy in the room and the attendance in the room of a bunch of entrepreneurs, small business people that utilize these types of technologies to provide services to their customers, whatever that might be it surveying, emergency services, pure research and development of technologies that attach to these systems. And what I kind of noticed is that everybody was kind of saying, you know, it'd be great if there was a central location where we could all go to, and you know, we need a runway, or we need, you know, kind of a hangar for development. It just would be great to kind of, because it has always seemed that it's kind of scattered out throughout the country. And keeping that in mind, did some, desktop research on myself to find out, what all existed out there. And then it was brought to my attention that the Osage Nation has this extremely valuable asset, which has a 3,000 by 40 foot runway, about 16,000 square foot area of a vertical liftoff, a hangar, and available office space that could be used to accommodate the needs of this, I'll call it an industry, which, again, just from an economic development standpoint, is something that you want to see, existing assets to help this market need, and that can be used by these people in this industry to further advance their business interests, their parochial business interests. It could also generate revenue for the nation, Osage Nation, through lease agreements for office space, use of the facilities there, in any manner that the Osage Nation deems appropriate. But again, it's there would need to be certain improvements and renovations to the facility to ensure that people would actually want to use it. I don't believe that they're, you need to spend a bunch of money on renovating the airstrip and stuff, because again, we're kind of at a point in this type of technology where the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, needs to promulgate and codify federal rules on fixed-wing aircraft and stuff that would utilize the airstrip. But most important, what needs to be done is to bring people to the facility. And I've talked to some people that are in kind of the technology market in the industry, where that drone ports, what would be attractive, what would make such a facility attractive, and kind of put together a draft schematic of some improvements to the facility being a step one. Because again, in economic development, you always kind of want to understand, okay, well, what's going to come first? What's the most reasonable approach to get to start? And you kind of don't want to have too sharp of a curve, an upward curve. You kind of want to, pardon the pun, let this thing gradually take off to get to where you ultimately want to be. And so improving the facilities that have been approved by the Osage Nation, I think that, kind of modifying the exterior walls, the interior walls, the floor, the ceiling, the lighting, just kind of some of the standard types of things, to allow some of the natural light to come in, to make it more appealing to tenants, potential tenants at the facility. I think that, in my opinion, that's a fantastic place to start at the moment. Last year, the U.S. Economic Development Administration had a regional annual meeting in Tulsa, and I took advantage of that opportunity when those officials were in town to take them out to the Skyway Air Park and say, hey, look at this. This is something that's kind of in the works right now. It's being considered by the Osage Nation. What do you think about that? And they were really blown away. Of course, they want to make sure that the investment priorities of EDA exist. Were they to, consider a possible federal funding opportunity to help in the renovations or improvements of the facility? And they were thrilled. I had been talking to them on the phone over it, a little while when I was first introduced to this asset that the Osage Nation has. But when you show them visually, when they actually see it, it just kind of takes on a new life. Learning that, this thing was continuing to take shape within the Osage Nation, it became more and more serious, and now we are at the position that we are at. So having recognized a market where there is strong potential for use of this facility by regional and state and outsides of the state interests is something that, in my opinion, would greatly benefit the Osage Nation. And I would also like to say that this facility being dedicated as a drone port for unmanned aerial systems, it doesn't exist in any other place in the United States, from what I can tell. There is one, and please, if anybody knows, correct me if I'm wrong, and I believe upstate New York, but it's a shared facility with manned aircraft that use, you know, the runway and vertical liftoff, but nothing dedicated, you know, for these types of technologies exists anywhere in the United States. Coupled with, you know, the use of very vast or expansive land use on a ranch for testing and whatnot, you know, that does kind of exist, but nothing with facilities such as airstrip, vertical liftoff, hangar, and office space. It's very unique. It is very unique, and it I think is something that would help diversify the economy of the region. I think it would help be a great benefit to the Osage Nation, bring more attention to the area, to the Osage Nation as well. And I'd be happy to entertain any questions that the chairman might have or any members of this committee.
Mr. Bigby?
You're welcome.
Any questions from the table? Congressman Tillman.
Thank you. Chairman Whitehorn, thank you, Mr. Bigby, for the information. I'm looking from an email sent out from Assistant Principal Chief, and looking at your website, you're familiar with
yes,
this.
Yes, sir.
And the INCOG, would this be under the your economic development link that I believe that I'm looking at? And it states that INCOG provides management assistance to local governments related to the development of financial strategies for public infrastructure improvements. Or is that the road we're going down here?
Yes, sir.
Okay, these strategies include the development and submittal of applications for loans and grants. And so INCOG, it has the capabilities to make loans and search for grants?
We don't have the capability to make loans. What we do is we make our resources available to
lenders?
No, to our member counties, communities,
right,
and tribal nations within our region, mm-hmm, to apply for federal grants and federal loans or revolving loan funds that are available. Because there's a number of things, you know, a number of boxes that have to be checked in these applications. Mm-hmm. And so we provide our resources where they might not exist,
sure,
to assist in the development of those applications.
And then, yes, if I can, Madam Chair, Principal Chief, the email sent on January 9th to address to Jim and Clint, and you talked of being notified of a grant opportunity, was that from,
yes, sir,
INCOG here? Okay. Thank you. And then you talk about renovation to the facility, not necessarily the runway, mm-hmm, improvements to the facility. And you're talking about the north wing of Central Services, is that correct?
I believe so. That's Building A. Yeah.
Okay. And it's currently unoccupied, not being used.
About 90% unoccupied, and they're emptying out the hangar from this. They've used it for storage.
Okay.
And
just, I know you, with the improvements, however it's funded, that you feel confident. Is there a guarantee that we will be able to land economic development contracts with entities that will help us if we improve the facility? There's still no guarantee that we get.
Well, yeah, I would shy away from using the word guarantee here in front of the committee.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's a great benefit.
It's a step in the right direction, but it doesn't.
It's a big step.
It doesn't promise us or guarantee us.
Yes, sir.
Or it gives us an added advantage, but it doesn't guarantee we're going to get.
In any application, if the Osage Nation submitted an application to the U.S. Economic Development Administration, which is referred to as EDA,
mm-hmm,
let's just say that there was a $2 million request for federal funds on that. what you would want to do to buttress or strengthen your application is provide letters of support from existing businesses.
Sure.
That would say, if this happened, we would want to use this. We would come here to use it because it serves X benefit or X purpose of our growth and the services that we provide to our customers. So yeah, without a doubt, that would accompany any application.
Okay.
And thus showing to EDA, you know, it would attest to what would be stated in there that a market exists. So this is not being pursued as a speculative project.
Is there an amount that with the grant that you're looking at currently? That
I believe so. EDA on their website, you know, they say Public Works Economic Development Assistance Grant Program offers, you know, anywhere they like to hit around the $1.5 million mark, but they can offer up to at their discretion around $2 million. But again, it's at their discretion, you know, based on their due diligence of the application, everything, what they ultimately decide to provide. So I, you know, say, you know, ballpark, anywhere between like 1.5 2 million.
Okay.
So.
And this is Incog's first attempt with this sort of industry with?
Speaking for myself, yes. I mean, this would be my first endeavor pursuit of federal funding opportunity in support of unmanned aerial vehicles or unmanned aerial systems technologies. But we have people within NCOG that currently sit on it's a state committee that the governor nominates people to sit on it. So we have a member of our NCOG team, and she sits on that. It's an unmanned aerial system. It's referred to as AAS. It's a council. It's a governor's council. We have myself, you know, taking a great interest in it. So I believe that she might have helped. I really can't directly answer your question, but from my standpoint, yes, this would be my first experience.
And then, if I may,
continue, please.
Assistant Principal Chief, back to, I believe it was prior meetings, I don't know the day, but you had come before the committee previously, and we had some of these discussions with a company, Honeywell, I believe it was, that was going to do some, I don't know if it's similar activities or business development, economic development at Skyway 36. So this, we have changed gears now from Honeywell now to, this is different.
No, not really.
Is Honeywell still involved?
We can talk about that in the executive session.
I would like to, if you'd like to do that in executive session. Thank you, that's all I have.
Any more questions? Then I do. So,
yes, ma'am.
I love grants, and I love grant opportunities. The Economic Development Association, is that?
Administration. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Federal program. I'm unclear if grant opportunities, like with other granting agencies, does it have an open date? We have this amount of funding. It's time to apply for the grant. It's a deadline, or is this just an open-ended grant process? I need to be clear on this, because I'm not hearing that the grant opportunity is actually there. I'm trying to kind of firm up if the grant opportunity is actually there, the grant's open, the funds are available.
Yes, ma'am.
They are.
It's an open application period. Applications are, you know, typically submitted start of the year. Then EDA will start making decisions around the end of the federal fiscal year, which ends at the end of September. But immediately after that, the next federal fiscal year grant opens. So it is a continuing, an open grant process. It's a competitive grant as well.
And my other question, has Oklahoma projects, previous, any other projects, not just for unmanned, has our state received this grant before in areas of other economic development? Are you aware of that?
Yes, ma'am. There are two current projects that we received grants on that I was a part of. In Inola, Oklahoma, we received $1.5 million from EDA to help fund infrastructure construction on a wastewater sewer lagoon and a 4-mile water line. In Sepulpa, Oklahoma, we received a $1.5 million grant award from EDA for the construction of a force main, sanitary sewer force main, 6 mile long force main. So yes, we have two open projects right now with EDA.
With this grant?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, wonderful.
Yes, ma'am.
That's good. So I guess we can still talk about this in open session. Are we making application? Are we in the process of making application, Assistant Chief, for this grant opportunity?
Yes.
Okay. And do we know when we're going to be able to submit our grant?
We are at the front end of the process. We were pleased that you had this meeting and had this on the agenda. We thought this was an excellent opportunity to let Congress know exactly what we were doing and how we were going about it. We're leaving a lot of this to Brian and Candy. This is right in their wheelhouse. This is what they do. And so we're simply feeding information, support, reaching out to other partners that we already have for their active support in this application. We can talk about that a little bit more in executive session.
But the Osage Nation will be the grantee on this.
Yes, ma'am.
This application will be
for
us in our name.
Yes, ma'am.
Great. Okay. And
we also feel the master planning process that's about to start at the casino level is perfect timing for this particular effort. We can integrate those kinds of decisions with Brian's help and others directly into this process. And for those of you who, I'm kind of figuring out that everybody's seen the communication that Congressman Tillman referred to, I would only add that that A&E work is meant to give something that you can sink your teeth into through an expenditure from the Commercial Property Fund to submit with the grant application. This is actually Mr. Bigby's suggestion. We felt like it was appropriate. We checked the Treasurer, we checked the AG to make sure all of that was, you know, according to oil.
And thank you for bringing that point up, because I am at a little bit of a disadvantage because I've been running the meeting and paying attention here, and I haven't had the opportunity to read the documents that are sitting before. So let me ask my question is, though, is that I did see the number of 100,000 out of the Commercial Property Fund.
You don't think it's going to be anywhere near that?
Is that a match, or is that just we're going to start doing things on our own? I just don't know.
This would be a capital asset investment, and on that basis, the opinion of the Attorney General and the Treasurer is that the funds that are meant for capital assets out of the Commercial Property Fund are applicable to the planning, architectural, and engineering processes that come ahead of the actual improvement. Mm-hmm.
Which would be?
We're only going to do
which would be a match for the grant, or it's on our own. It's showing our own effort. Okay, that's
my question. If we're serious about Skyway, I don't know what the number's going to be. I'd be pulling a number out of my hat. But the number out of my hat is $40,000-$50,000 of planning, of architectural and engineering funds. It's the same way we've approached a lot of projects, you know, to enhance our chances of getting it. We draw up some plans up front so we know exactly what the number looks like. It's coming from an authoritative source.
Okay, and the other note that I have made to myself as part of this conversation before we go into executive session would be, I hear now, and I know the plans morph, but I hear now that we're wanting to dedicate Skyway 36 to unmanned, whereas I think the conversation during the CISO session was maybe have unmanned and some commercial use of regular aircraft too. So is it now that we are going strictly unmanned there, or is that still up for discussion?
Let's have that conversation in two parts.
Okay.
The first part is what enhances our ability to obtain the grant. And I don't know the answer to that question. I think that if, as Brian progresses and Candy progresses through that application process and in communication with EDA, that will become apparent. The second part of that conversation, and I'm happy to have you straighten me out or comment on this if I misspeak. The second part of that conversation has to do with time. That entire industry and where it's headed and how fast it's going is entirely dependent upon the technology that allows safe interaction between manned and unmanned aircraft. Am I correct about that?
Yes, sir.
So regardless of what we think today, in two and a half years, or for that matter, 9 months, Mark and I have a lot of conversations about this, a technological breakthrough that allows safe interaction between manned and unmanned aircraft can change that. So I think we're going to be wise enough not to preclude any particular development that's going to enhance job attraction, job creation, and the development of the infrastructure. We're always going to be thinking open-minded here. But right now, putting it bluntly, and I'd appreciate, again, straighten me out if I'm saying this wrong, the fears of the FAA going forward, because they're trying to learn as much about the UAS industry as they possibly can. Right now, in my opinion, they would probably enjoy seeing a drone-only operation because it takes that pressure off the integration until they're technically ready to have an integration of manned and unmanned. Help me, is that fair?
I agree 100%. Basically, the FAA is all about safety. And they have a proven track record right now of manned aviation safety that's impeccable. Introducing unmanned systems to the FAA is really nothing but a downside for them. There is no upside there. They have to do it because it's just going to have to happen. But they're really taking it very, very slowly. The current Trump administration also is very commercially driven, and they see what's going on outside of the borders of the United States, where FAA has no jurisdiction. Right now, today, you can go to Dubai and ride a drone from the airport to a downtown hotel. It's operating within manned airspace and it's hauling people. That could happen here today as well. The technology exists. The only thing that's stopping it from happening is the FAA. Those barriers are being broken down. The danger, though, is to assume that barrier is going to be broken down at some point in time and what it's going to look like when it happens. That would be looking at a crystal ball, which is not a great way to do your economic development. So we're trying to really take the very conservative and safe approach and make sure that we're capable to take care of technology as it stands today without mitigating anything that can be done in the future so we can best use the assets. Mm-hmm.
That was a great answer to my question. Congresswoman Lemon.
I want to backtrack a little bit. Thank you, Chair.
Go ahead.
On the two grants that were received in Oklahoma that you were a part of,
yes, ma'am.
Were matching funds required? Were they for those grants?
Yes, ma'am, they were, to answer your question.
To the tune of $1.5 million?
So the way that the EDA program is structured is that they, you know, just coming at it with a blank slate, they say, yes, we would, you know, you need to be prepared to, it's a 50-50 thing. We'll provide 1.5, you provide 1.5. Show us that that money is committed, this and that. But it's one of the things, one of the investment priorities of EDA is to assist in the funding of public works programs in economically distressed areas. So, and I hate to use this, but the more distressed an area, the less match you have to provide. Sure. So they can go up to 80% federal funding and the match can be as low as 20%. However, they have something in their rules that says for tribal projects, EDA will do 100% and no match would be required.
And your chances of being awarded, I'm sorry, may I?
Keep going, yes.
The chances of being awarded increase if you, I mean, it looks better if you're willing to match.
Not necessarily so. Well, okay. Yes. To answer your question directly, yes.
Thank you.
Yes, you would need to show EDA that you have matching funds committed, available as needed for the project. If for non-tribal nation applications. You also have to do a number of other things. You have to provide the preliminary engineering report, because that engineering report is going to be what the budget is based off of. You would have to provide conceptual design to show what this is going to look like in the area so that any environmental concerns can be addressed, just a part of the due diligence effort. If you are submitting a grant application that qualifies for 100% federal funding, if you include additional funds in that, it just makes things even better. Whatever that amount might be, you just have a better chance of success. Yes,
thank
ma'am.
You.
Yes, I hope that answers your question. Okay.
Any more questions before we go into an executive session to cover a few outstanding areas of this discussion? Entertain a motion to do so.
Move to enter executive session for the purpose of discussing confidential and proprietary matters.
Second. A motion and a second by Congresswoman Goodfox. Any discussion? All in favor, please say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, say no. Assistant Chief, you can view who's in the room. I'm going to give you the...
I don't really see anybody here that can't stay if the press isn't here, so I think we're good.
Perfect. Okay.